to episode 3 of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. With me here in the studio is Candace Jones. How's it, Candace?
Hey, Duncan.
How are you doing?
Well, it's been a busy week, so, keeping well.
As always. Thanks, everyone, for the feedback so far. Please keep it coming at info@techcentral.co.za. We're finding it very useful indeed. Positive or negative feedback on the show, we'd welcome your views on it. Candace, let's get right into it. It has been a busy week, as you say. I guess the big news this week was the news that the spectrum auction that ICASA was planning to hold in the 2.6 gigahertz and 3.5 gigahertz bands has been cancelled, or rather postponed to some future date. What you were at the press conference? What happened?
Well, basically, ICASA says that it has conducted interviews with all of industry and come to the conclusion that its decision to go forward with the ITA, or the invitation to apply initially, was a bit hasty. Basically, they're saying now that when they decided to roll out the process, WiMAX was a very popular technology, and now LTE seems to be gaining in popularity, so they need to rethink the way they structure the spectrum at their auction. So they've pulled the auction, and they're going to reissue the invitation to apply at some date in the future. We don't know when.
The spectrum, of course, is going to be used to provide wireless broadband services, and the concern that some of the operators, particularly the incumbent mobile operators, have expressed is that the way that ICASA wanted to structure the spectrum wasn't ideally suited for LTE spectrum, which is the next generation of the third generation wireless standard, which they've already deployed in this country. Whereas the way it's currently structured is more suited to companies wanting to deploy WiMAX technology. Is that right, Candace?
Well, yes, that is exactly what they're saying. It's a very technical issue. But basically, WiMAX and the 4G mobile uses two very different ways of the allocated spectrum.
My understanding of it is that with the first generation of LTE, TD-LTE, you have to have two separate distinct bands in the same chunk of radio frequency spectrum. So it can't be a contiguous chunk of radio frequency spectrum, as is the case with WiMAX technology. Apparently, that's going to change with later versions of LTE, but the early versions require these two separate pieces of spectrum.
The trouble is the sooner we get a new system up and running and the spectrum out, the better. So working on the first generation of LTE is a better idea in terms of allocating the spectrum, as far as I understand it.
Yes, I think that's right, Candace. It's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. We're going to be having a conversation, in fact, just after this podcast, and we'll get the story up by Monday with Steve Song of the Shuttleworth Foundation and with Mark Shuttleworth, just to chat about the auction process. I know they're quite concerned about what's going on, so look out for that story. We should have that up by Monday morning at the latest. Candace, moving on, the other big news this week, I guess, was the Vodacom results, and quite a lot of news flow coming out of that. The one story that struck me was that Vodacom CEO Peter Ace is lobbying for an extension to the deadline for the RECA Act, which requires you and me to pop along to a shop and prove our identity and prove our address, amongst other things, our residential address. Why are they lobbying for an extension to this deadline?
Well, at the moment, I think Vodacom has managed to only register a certain number of their very big customer base, and I think that they still have eight million or so customers still to register. The deadline is January next year.
They're doing pretty well then, because they've got about 25 million or so customers on their books here in South Africa. So if there's only 8 million left, they've actually registered a heck of a lot of them already.
They have indeed, and they've invested a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of energy into the process of getting customers registered, because at the end of the day, when the deadline rolls around, if customers aren't registered, they will be dropped from the network. You will not be able to make a phone call on your mobile phone. So they obviously have a vested interest in getting as many customers on board as possible. But I think the big issue is, and it's happened across the world in countries that have done this, is the last few million are really the hardest to get on board. These are the guys that are diehard not going to register.
But they might have legitimate reasons for not being able to register. I mean, we've got illegal aliens in South Africa who don't have ID books. We've got people in remote parts of the country where it's really difficult to go through this RECA process. So it's quite likely that Vodacom will simply never get to the last couple of million.
Well, I think they will once those guys get cut off. But that will be it. It will be a big number. Come January, we will look out for a large number of people being cut off the networks, and not just for Vodacom, for MTN and Cell C, and also for the internet service providers who are also lobbying for an extension to this deadline. So
you covered the story, Candice. Do you think they should get the extension?
Well, I think it's reasonable to give them a little bit more time. I think they've only had 18 months to get all their customers registered. And like you say, people are out in the rural areas. They have to get staff going out there, contractors to go and register these people with mobile devices. And, you know, it's a tough job. And I really do think that it's well worth looking into an extension.
For me, I just wonder whether all this effort has been worthwhile. I mean, it's cost these operators millions and millions of rand, and you know, the pain that we as consumers had to go through to register for RECA, one wonders if the benefits are really going to flow from this. Of course, the regulations and the legislation was created originally in an attempt to fight organized crime. Do you fight organized crime by basically treating every citizen as a criminal?
Well, the thing is that internationally, similar situations or similar legislation has been a universal failure. It has yet to prevent organized crime. It has yet to even aid in crime stop at all. The biggest problem is that it's a very cumbersome process. It's a very costly process. And the mobile operators are being penalized for something that really they shouldn't be responsible for.
I remember the former CEO of Vodacom, Alan Knott-Craig, used to speak out quite strongly on the subject, and I tend to agree with him. I think this is a case of legislators introducing laws before without thinking them through properly. But anyway, let's move right along. Also on the Vodacom front, interesting news this week was that Bob Collymore, who's one of the chief officers at Vodacom and one of Peter Ace's right-hand men at Vodacom, is leaving in September to go and become the new CEO at Safaricom, which is the biggest operator in East Africa, as far as I know. It's certainly the biggest operator in Kenya.
Definitely, yes.
So it's an interesting move for Bob. I think it's a good promotion for him. And of course, Safaricom, like Vodacom, is also partially owned by the UK's Vodafone. I think Vodafone, if I'm not mistaken, owns 40% or thereabouts of Safaricom, and in South Africa, I think Vodafone has 65% of Vodacom. So interesting. I think a bit of a loss for Vodacom, but an interesting appointment for Safaricom, and it's going to be interesting to see how he performs up there. I've met with Bob Collymore a few times, really nice guy, and I guess wish him the best of luck up there. The other story to flow out of the Vodacom announcements this week, if you like, was the update on what's happening in the DRC. There's been an ongoing dispute between Vodacom and the minority shareholder in Vodacom DRC. There's been some news of progress there, has there, Candice, or no progress?
Well, no progress indeed, but Peter Ace, Vodacom CEO, has actually, for the first time, given a timeline on how much or how long he will stick out the issue. Basically, he says by the end of the year, they will know exactly what they're going to be doing with the operation in the Congo.
It sounds like they've been threatening to cut and run and just pull out of that market, which isn't a particularly important one for them from a profitability perspective right now. Although all the analysts were quick to point out that the DRC, though its economy is shattered, I mean it's basically it's not even a developing economy; it's an undeveloped economy. They're quick to point out that country has a huge population; it's bigger than South Africa's, and so the growth potential there, if the DRC eventually does sort itself out, is big. But you know, if there's no prospect of the economy recovering, maybe Vodacom doesn't care, and it'll make the right move by pulling out.
Well, obviously, Vodacom has some sort of vested interest. It would not have stuck it out for this long if that were the case, if that weren't the case. So, you know, Vodacom must see something in this business in the Congo. But like you say, and when it decides that it's not worth it, it will pull out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, from what I understand, the DRC is not the most pleasant place on the planet to do business. You know, the government, such as it is, arbitrarily raises taxes on business. You hear of stories of business executives being detained for no apparent reason by the authorities, etc., etc., etc. So, yeah, good luck to them. Moving on from Vodacom is some news this week, finally, in fact, it's been coming since the beginning of the year. Neotel's plans to launch a prepaid offering. In fact, they announced this week that they have partnered with JSE-listed Blue Label Telecoms, which is well-known for distributing and selling starter packs and airtime at point of sale in South Africa for the mobile operators. So they've partnered with Neotel to begin offering these prepaid offerings. I suppose the big question is, Neotel so far hasn't really been much of a success in the consumer market. They've apparently had more success in the business and wholesale markets, but in consumer they've only signed up fewer than 50,000 customers, which I'd imagine is a disappointment to them. Do you think launching a prepaid product is going to make a big difference to Neotel's success or otherwise in the consumer market, Candice?
I'm not sure, Duncan. I think it depends on how they package it and how they package the devices they sell with the prepaid airtime. You know a little bit more about the issue. Do you know how they're going to package that?
They didn't provide much detail in their announcement, actually. They just said it's going to be available at retail points, including places like garage forecourts, etc. Presume it's going to be some sort of similar model to the mobile operators, although I'm not sure they'll use SIM cards. Neotel, as far as I know, doesn't use SIM cards in its products at all, so presumably it'll have to be some sort of voucher-based system where you'd, I don't know, dial a number or phone a call center to get credit on your Neotel phone. Getting the awareness amongst consumers is going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know what everyone knows about buying a prepaid starter pack and putting in a SIM in a cell phone. Neotel may have a bit of an uphill battle in terms of educating consumers, but they're launching their prepaid offerings on the 1st of August. So let's
look. Neotel has a lot of experience in India with its parent company Tata. It's done very well in terms of prepaid.
That's very true.
Perhaps it'll bring that expertise to bear in South Africa.
Let's hope so. The more competition and the more successful competition, the better, especially in that consumer market. Other news this week is that, once again, ongoing tensions at the DRC between Communications Minister Siphiwe Nyanda and his Director General Mamadupi Mohlala. Business Day continuing to break some stories in this regard today, Friday, suggesting that perhaps some sort of settlement is on the cards and that Mohlala may be on her way out. Candice, what's your take on this?
Well, as you know, we've also heard similar stories from industry and people close to the DOC. None of which is confirmable. The DOC's clamped up on it entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see her lasting long in the position as DG.
Yeah, not when you've got a powerful, politically connected minister like Nyanda. I think when you have a fallout like this, you're gone.
I don't think we're going to see her for much longer in the position, which to some extent is a pity because she has been a very strong influence on industry. Unfortunately, perhaps that strength is also her downfall.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, in my interactions with her, I've found her to be, she's tough, but I've also found her to be smart and to understand the issues and to answer questions directly when you put them to her, for the most part. I certainly believe that she is one of the better director generals that the department has seen since the advent of democracy. So it will be unfortunate, I think, if she leaves, depending on, of course, on who is appointed to replace her, if she goes. We've got to pay the bills now, believe it or not. But we'll be back with the show just after this.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing from Vox.
Welcome back to Talk Central. Candice, good news this week was that CECOM is finally back up.
Oh, thank heavens. I, for one, am pleased that I can go back home and start rehashing some of my World of Warcraft fun.
Yes, indeed. Have you been quite badly affected on your DSL line by the CECOM outage?
Well, luckily, MWeb has managed to switch us over to some alternative connectivity, which has been great. Thanks, MWeb. But it will be good to get back to proper latencies, which I've missed.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. The other good news, of course, is that Easy has gone live. It's currently being tested, and Candice, you've broke the news this week that regarding the dates when the actual connectivity from Easy will be landing on these shores.
Yeah, I spoke to a couple of the industry investors. Telkom has an idea that it will probably be up and running by August, which is a couple of days from now. Quite fun idea that Easy will be live from August, but MTN is a little bit less ambitious. Its testing it will probably take a little bit longer, and it expects to be up and running with commercial service on Easy by September.
And of course, the good news is that Easy is finally going to provide a redundant route for internet service providers. So next time someone puts an anchor through Seacom or through Easy, one of the alternative cables can be used. So hopefully the sort of outages that we've seen over the last couple of months are a thing of the past.
Well, I heard an interesting stat from Arthur Goldstuck yesterday at the Samsung Forum, where he said that in 2 years' time, we will have 150 times the capacity we had 2 years ago.
That's incredible. Of course, Arthur Goldstuck is the MD of Worldwide Works, the research company. Moving on again, some news on the mobile TV front. Candice, you've been doing some digging today, in fact, and the news isn't all good. What can you tell us?
Well, in a surprising turn of events, the regulator has yet to give ETV its mobile TV license. As you know, Duncan, the regulator, ICASA, rushed the process back in April, May, to have mobile TV ready before June, before kickoff of the Soccer World Cup. Well, Soccer World Cup is now over, and ETV was the only licensee to be awarded a mobile TV license in May. Still hasn't got the physical license in its hand, and it can't do anything until it does.
I think the only company that was really ready to launch mobile TV was MultiChoice. I mean, they've been running a test network for several years already.
It's not to forget that it's also got a very, very popular mobile TV offering in Nigeria.
In a number of African countries, in fact, they've launched in half a dozen or more, if I remember correctly. And they've been champing at the bit to launch their DStv mobile service here in South Africa for quite a while, so let's hope that actually happens at some point. Of course, MultiChoice made a bit of a faux pas in the initial licensing process, where it simply delivered its application to the invitation to apply late. I believe that led to a couple of stern words from the CEO of Naspers, Chris Becker, to some of the senior staff at MultiChoice. But let's hope some of these mobile TV licenses get off the ground soon.
Well, there is some news on that as well. ICASA has received two applications for its second invitation to apply, which it released after the first furore over ETV being the only licensed mobile provider.
Now, this is for the second chunk of the first multiplex or chunk of spectrum which they're licensing.
Yes. So this is the second round of applications for the first multiplex.
Okay.
I know that Super 5 Media, the recently licensed pay TV operator which has yet to launch a pay TV service, has applied for a license, and MultiChoice as well.
Okay.
Whether or not who will receive the license remains to be seen, but MultiChoice thinks that ICASA will make the announcement by the end of June.
Oh, good. End of July, you mean?
End of July.
I would. If I was a betting man, I'd put my money on MultiChoice, to be quite honest.
I would too, but it doesn't mean that Super 5 will be losing out, because ICASA will be opening up a second multiplex for other broadcasters who are hoping to provide pay TV services. And I spoke to On Digital Media today. They're not really interested in the pay TV market, so the mobile TV market. So Super 5 will have a very good run if it comes into the second multiplex.
Indeed. Although there are still all sorts of questions around Super 5 Media and whether they're ever going to get off the ground. They seem to have gone to ground. Of course, Super 5 Media is what used to be called Telkom Media before Telkom decided it didn't want to be a pay TV operator. They have said a couple of things here and there, but they really are a very quiet company, and one wonders whether they're ever going to get a service that rivals a MultiChoice or On Digital Media off the ground. On Digital Media, of course, being the operator of the recently launched Top TV, which seems to be doing very well.
Well, I heard from industry today that while Super 5 is down, it's not out. Apparently, they are making some arrangements, restructuring packages, and hopefully they'll let us know soon. It's a pity that this information isn't coming from Super 5 itself, but repeated requests for details from the company have been ignored.
Yes, indeed. I think they certainly do need to improve their PR.
It doesn't help that they have a director of the board trying to field media queries. I think that's probably the tough part. They need to bring in a proper communications person, I think.
They used to have a PR person there, but he was retrenched along with half the staff last year sometime. Late last year, or was it earlier this year? The pay TV market is one that has needed a shake-up and has needed some competition, and it's great that Top TV's come in. Apparently, they've got more than 100,000 subscribers on their books now, which is good growth, considering they only launched a couple of months ago. But
they had a bit of a rocky start, but I spoke to the chief marketing officer today, Eloise Kelly, and she says that things are settling down. You know, they didn't want to make any big splashes during the World Cup. They didn't really want to compete against that messaging that was coming out from everybody else. So they just put their heads down and got to business, and I think that's great. I think they're settling in now.
They seem to be quite a smart operator, so let's keep an eye on them. Last story of the week, Candice, is quite an interesting one, actually, because it affects everyone in South Africa, potentially. And that's that ICASA may be changing all our telephone numbers, or at least our dialing codes. What's all this about?
Well, ICASA released regulations around a new numbering plan or a new numbering scheme, which details a possible change for South Africa's telephone numbers, specifically the dialing codes. So for now, we're dialing 011 for Joburg and 021 for Cape Town. I hope I get that right. Possibly in the future, we will be looking at dialing 611 for Joburg and 621 for Cape Town. Mobile numbers also expected to change. Instead of 083 for MTN, we'll be now looking at 883. The couple of numbers are going to change, short codes and that kind of thing. So, start practicing your new numbers.
Yeah, because you get so used to dialing these numbers, you just dial 082 automatically. These numbers have become synonymous with these operators. 082 means Vodacom, 083 means MTN, 084 means Cell C.
That kind of changed, though, when number portability came into play. But you're right. These are their numbers. These are numbers that were allocated to them.
It's almost like a brand that they own.
That's exactly it.
And there's a very good chance now that it's going to change. 882 instead of 082.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't have quite the same ring to it, does it?
No, not quite.
I suppose we'll get used to it if ICASA introduces this. And it is an if. It looks like it could be as long as 5 years before we see this, right?
Yeah, it seems like it could take a long time if it happens at all. It all depends on how the number structures work out in the next couple of years, or whether or not we run out of numbers, which is a very real possibility. But Duncan, I remember back in the day, I don't think you guys ever had to deal with this, but I come from the South, where we have an 016 dialing code, and we used to have a 4-digit phone number.
That must have been one of those old analog exchanges. Do you remember those rotary dialers that we used to use, where you put your finger in and really literally dialed around on the handset?
In fact, coming from near Vereeniging, we had that right up until I was in matric, which was 1997.
Wow, that's amazing. And I remember those old analog dialers, and they used to go click, 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 click as the call was connected through the exchange.
Well, I really thought that I was hitting the tech big leagues when we got the tone dial telephone.
Anyway, we have to go off and do something quite advanced now. We're going to have a Skype conference call with Mark Shuttleworth, so we're going to have to run. But thanks for listening to the podcast again this week. And as always, your feedback is greatly welcome, either in the comments section under the podcast posting on the website, or you're most welcome to email us at info@techcentral.co.za. This is Talk Central from Candice and myself. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, and we'll chat to you again. Bye.